Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Naruto, all things that we love, all manga that were originally published in the legendary magazine Weekly Shonen Jump.
But not every series can run for 300 chapters and have a hit anime. This is David.
This is Jordan.
We're the hosts of Shonen Flop. Each episode, we look at manga that ran in Jump that didn't quite make it.
We discuss what it did wrong, what it did right, how the series could have turned itself around, and ultimately, was it a flop or not?
We're on all your favorite podcast apps, and you can find us at shonenflop.com.
Keep on flopping, floppers.
Every day, we're surrounded by media. Books, movies, art, music, games, apps, podcasts, etc., etc. With this constant bombardment, it's easy to miss great media gems in the chaos. But fret not, you've come to the right place, my friend. I'm Jason, and I love media. I invite you to check out the Mixed Media Forest podcast, the podcast where I trudge through the forests of media to find hidden gems for you, the listener. Every episode of Mixed Media Forest is chock full of fun, reviews, nostalgia, positivity, news, rants, stories, and recommendations about all things media. Again, that's the Mixed Media Forest podcast, created on Anchor Podcasting app and available everywhere fine podcasts can be found. Give it a listen. It's what all the cool kids are doing.
How can you tell me it's safe? You're riding around in a cop car.
Yeah, so what's the big deal? If there's any problem, the cops are right there.
All right.
Well, are you worried?
No, I'm not worried. I just worry about you.
I thought you went to bed.
I can't sleep. If I'm not going to sleep, I may as well be up. That's yesterday's.
I know, but yesterday was a good day, so I thought I'd relive it.
Very funny. Meanwhile, your father's in the hospital.
Did you talk to Lisa?
Yes, she said she'd walk Murray.
Oh, that Lisa, she's so sweet.
Yeah, I guess she is.
You two are so different.
Yeah, I called her up. She gave me a bunch of crap about me not listening to her enough or something. I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly. Tra-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Tis the season to be jolly. Tra-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Don we now our gay apparel. Tra-la-la-la-la-la-la. True nature, you like arrow.
Duncan MacLeod of the Clan MacLeod.
My name is Ichabod Crane.
Name's MacGyver. Colonel Jack O'Neill, SG-1.
I am Batman!
Hello, I'm the Doctor.
So there's this man, he has a time machine. Up and down history he goes, zip, 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 getting into scrapes.
For years, and maybe more than that, right, Mac? But how long has it been? Has it been 6, 7 years ago?
Are you telling me that you built a time machine? Out of a DeLorean?
Hey, now wait a minute. Now wait just a minute.
Human beings were not meant to sit in little cubicles staring at computer screens all day.
I've got something for you.
Oh, merci, Sonor.
Just one more thing, sir.
Oh, boy.
Just like that. Bing, bang, boom.
At this point, I'd settle for the boom.
They'd love it here, don't you think?
This is what I'm saying.
And by the way, where is your podcast? Tell everybody that's here.
Welcome to the Never Gets Old podcast. The podcast of all we love in TV, movies, music, and comics. With your hosts, Mac Jackson and Nathan Schell. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, and YouTube. Donations at paypal.com at macwjackson@comcast.net.
Listen to my taping songs. DJ saying that they're too long. His guitar may be silenced, but his soul goes on and on. Alone again, alone again. His stories were like us, a beginning and an end. Alone
everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of the Never Gets Old podcast. As you can see, it's our apparently our holiday episode.
Well, one of us is prepared.
Yeah. I'm your host, Mac Jackson.
And I'm Nathan Schell.
So, as always, lots and lots and lots to talk about. Mikey pointed out that, and of course, Mikey being my son who listens to all these episodes, he's so pumped for us to do an episode. He's like, it's been too long since you two have done one, which he said.
Yeah, we do tend to take breaks, but that also opens up the possibility for you to do some amazing knockout interviews.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. But it's funny that we have those that go, yeah, those are great. We love the interviews, but we also have to get the banter between you guys.
Oh, yeah, because you and I, you know, we have some entertaining banter because, you know, though we are fans of similar like, we're not like carbon copies of each other, right, which I think helps.
It's wonderful. Okay, so let's talk about, well, we got lots to talk about.
Oh, heaps.
Yesterday was Thanksgiving. How was your Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving, last year's compared to this year's, vastly different. Last year, Jess and I alternate between her family and my family for Thanksgiving specifically. We used to alternate Thanksgiving and Christmas, but we realized my family always does stuff on Christmas Eve. We always have. No real reason, I think, you know. But so alternating Thanksgivings last year, mid-major portion of the pandemic, we just went over to my mom and dad's because we were all quarantining, you know, as you do. Well, this year we were on slate to go to her family's. Well, her family's usually nice, big 20 plus people at the gathering, insanity, chaos in a good way, you know.
Sure.
Well, this year, because we're still in the midst of the pandemic, they broke it down into smaller Thanksgivings. Like, you know, this part of the family got together down in Kentucky, another down in Florida. We actually had a couple people not show up because there's a COVID scare at the one kid or at the one child's school. They're like, we're not going to run any risks. We're just going to do a low key one here at our place. And everyone's like, no, that's fine. That makes sense. It's the responsible thing to do.
Sure.
So it actually ended up being just Jess, myself, her dad, her two aunts and her one uncle. Which was pretty nice. A little weird because we were still the youngest people there. But it was fun. Got to chat with them about different things. And I don't think her one uncle realized how like handy I am with tools and stuff. Because her dad had made a remark about, yeah, the deck photos looked really good. But actually seeing the deck, you did a bang up job on it, you know.
Sure.
And her uncle looks at me and he's like, wait, you built the deck, or you built a deck? I'm like, yeah, I built a deck for my house. Oh, well, that's pretty cool, you know. How long did it take you? And I said, well, you know, give or take, you know. And I gave him some number of days or whatever, and he's like, wow. He goes, I can't imagine that, you know. And her dad said something about, well, what's your next big project? I said, well, I did this, and I showed him a picture of the little firewood stand that we built, which, I mean, it serves its purpose, yeah, you know. But, her uncle was just kind of stunned that, you know, there's somebody else in the family, like one of her cousins, that likes to build stuff. You know, granted, I'm not necessarily the whole finished detail looks,
sure,
you know,
yeah,
like
yeah,
came off a showroom floor, but functionality, it's there, and that's the important thing. But we got to chatting about different things, and it was just fun to, I don't want to necessarily say be the focus of a conversation, but being
part of it,
being really involved with a conversation, you know.
Right.
But yeah, it was cool. Ended up, they did a cookie swap like they always do. And her one aunt was doing, let's see, I think she did four, maybe five different types of cookies, because she was getting cookies for her daughter, and one of the other nieces and nephews had shown interest, but because they weren't going to be around, they they weren't going to be around specifically this day or yesterday. So they made arrangements where they're like, okay, here's, you know, our batch of cookies. That way we can still get the cookie swap experience just remotely type thing.
Sure.
And some of them are pretty good.
Some of them sucked, but some of them...
They actually do a really good job at picking some interesting cookies and stuff. Like,
nice.
One of them had done kind of like an apple fritter type cookie a couple years back. Still hope they'll bring that back. But every now and then they'll get some strange ones. Like, there was one this year that had like coconut in it or something. Okay. And I'm not huge on coconut, neither is Jess, but I think she got one just to at least say it, so that we can say we at least gave it a shot, you know. Sure. But usually it's not your traditional just, oh, here's my take on chocolate chip cookies, or here's this, you know, here's a Snickers. It's some kind of elaborate-esque cookies and such.
Yeah.
But always good, always good.
That's our Christmas is that, because everybody, okay. Well, Christmas Eve, they come to our house now.
That's cool.
Yeah, since we moved into this house and my parents moved into their smaller house, my mother doesn't host. She doesn't really want to host anything anyway now, because it's a lot of work and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't want to. Well, we're fine with it because now it gives us a chance to host Christmas Eve, which we love. And my parents come over, my aunt and uncle come over, and it used to be my sister, but they're up at Lake Winola, and that's a half hour away. And they usually host when it's not pandemic time. They'll host Thanksgiving and Christmas Day. Well, for going back to Thanksgiving, my point was everybody brings a tray of cookies, and then you just grab stuff to bring home at the end of the – on Christmas Eve, my aunt brings some. My mother brings some. Like, okay. And then Christmas, my sister has some. So – we have cookies for the next 3 months, whether you're going to eat them quick or not.
You just throw a slice of bread in the container and it'll keep the shelf life of them long.
Yeah. Well, for Thanksgiving, last year, my sister wasn't hosting it because she was going to California to see my niece.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. Well, no, it's fine. But now we're like, okay, ooh, what do we do? So... Mm-hmm. Same thing as this year. My aunt treats us all to, it's called Terry's Diner. It's in Music. And it's somewhat famous, but it had been around since, I guess, the 50s. And it's the old typical diner.
A diner that you'd expect to see in like the 50s, 60s right. type.
But
gotcha.
They, of course, as any good one does, has a back room with feels like a normal restaurant.
Yeah.
And so that's where we've been going for the last 2 years. And at first everybody's like, oh, this doesn't, you know, it's not going to be like Thanksgiving like we're used to with everybody. But it's just, like I said, my aunt and uncle, my parents, and us, the four of us. That's plenty. It was a nice, quiet, you know, you go, she makes the reservation months in advance, calls numerous times to go, don't forget, we have a table. So 2 o'clock, we all pile in there, you know, you get what you want. Last year my daughter made the oh so terrible mistake of asking for pancakes on Thanksgiving, and I had to hear about it all year long.
Oh, Jesus.
So this year, as soon as we sit down, my mother says, you know, you got to help her, make sure she can order something. I said, I was hoping we could all just order pancakes. I hear the pancakes here are really good. And everybody, they all turn and look at me, and of course Cindy's laughing, and she's like, "Yeah, I think we should all just order pancakes. What do you say?"
Pour a little turkey gravy on it. That'd be good.
So, but most of them do the traditional. We're gonna get the turkey dinner. Blah 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 blah. I ended up getting like a steak.
Yeah.
And whatever, that's fine. It's, you know, but I said to Everly beforehand, I said, "Do not even think about ordering pancakes because I don't want to hear it for the next year."
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's fine. And then you're there a couple hours, and then we went home, decorated the tree.
Yeah, I see the tree.
We used to wait until after Thanksgiving to start enjoying Christmas, but we figure if we wait until after Halloween, because Thanksgiving is a meal. There's no hoopla to it. Yeah. It's supposed to be a relaxing meal. Okay. But Christmas comes and goes so darn quick. Yeah. The sooner we can get the decorations on outside or get the tree up, which is... I didn't have to bring it up this year, thank God. I'm so thankful. Usually I have to bring up the last heavy piece.
Yeah.
But I felt like crap because I got my booster shot last week.
Okay.
I went and got blood work done for my doctor, my six-month doctor visit coming up, and got a booster shot a couple hours later. It affected me. The normal shots didn't, but I'm guessing because I had already blood taken, I didn't get enough fluids in me. By that night, I was like, my stomach, I don't feel hungry. I have no appetite, and I kind of feel feverish. So by the time I came down, my weekend was shot. They had already brought up the tree. Well, the tree has so many ornaments. I mean, we really don't go looking for ornaments now because we have more than enough.
Well, yeah, you probably have enough for like multiple trees.
Yeah, which Mikey brought up the conversation about people having multiple trees. Like, why do people do that? Whatever. It's, yeah. You know, well, not my thing.
If you got a place that, you know, you have rooms that you spend a lot of time in or what have you, like here for us, eventually when we get the basement done, I wouldn't mind having a Christmas tree set up down there. Now, granted, it wouldn't be necessarily as grandiose or what have you as the tree that we have in the living room when it's up, because right. It's not up right now, because gestures vaguely. but it would have it would probably be one of those like pre-lit trees. Literally all you got to do is snap it together, plug it in, throw a splattering of a couple of ornaments on it, and it's good to go. I probably wouldn't put like a huge tree down there either. But, you know, that way when I'm down there and, you know, playing games or streaming or whatever I might be tickling my fancy at the moment, you'll still have that Christmas spirit, you know?
Sure. Sure.
And I know with the library that we want to do in the basement, I'm sure Jess will decorate some stuff in there because, again, why not?
Mm-mm-mm. Oh, yeah. I'm so envious of people like yourself who get to have a guy cave and can have those extra rooms for, you know, when we feel like it, we could hang around in this room and read. We could have a reading room if we want. Yeah. I would love that, but we have a dirt basement and there's no way it's being converted anytime that I can ever.
Yeah, no, that's a little bit of a challenge to overcome.
Yeah.
So have the slab down there that I can use as a base.
And you can stand all the way up. We can, yes, but that we're helps too. Just clearing it.
Yeah. Mikey can for now.
Yeah. Well, he's getting there. He's about as tall as his mother. For those who don't know, Nate hosted an anniversary party a few weeks ago, which we got to go to and had a wonderful time as always.
Yeah, it was a blast.
Yeah. I said, you know, you guys have fun? Yeah. I said, you guys didn't say as much as, you know, no, we just like to sit there and listen. I'm like, okay. Like, you know, Mikey's thrilled because he's we get to go to Nate and Jess's. Oh, with the TARDIS cabinet. Yep. And just, you know, he just likes to be among us because he hears us talk like this all the time. So to be in the middle of the room while we're talking. Actually,
you know, and I think they did a fairly good job at kind of being part of the conversation at a couple times too, which absolutely. I thought was pretty nice.
Right? They don't shove their way into a conversation, and they're also not mutes.
Yeah.
They are polite and respectful and know when to speak and know when to listen, which is...
Oh, yeah, they're good kids. Absolutely.
They really are. And for the rest of the audience who are dog lovers, our family finally has a dog.
Adorable dog.
Adorable dog.
It appears to found somebody that loves it's a male dog, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Loves him as much as anybody else in the family, and that's Mac. I keep seeing the photos popping up.
Okay. For those who can see, I don't know if that'll come through.
If you tilt your camera a little bit, there you go.
There we go. That is Duffy. Duffy is let me see if I can find you another picture, because we're constantly taking pictures of the dog. I mean, we have the daily Duffy pictures. And he we got him at like 8 weeks. It's now maybe 11 or somewhere around there.
Say you had them for a couple, or they're a couple months old now. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a retriever boxer mix, and then the vet believes there's a little German Shepherd in him from his coloring. And mm-hmm. also, I met the mother. Like, that's a saga. Let me sway into. We told you this, but we got to tell the audience because this is nuts.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So okay. I'm going to try and shorten it as much as possible. I wasn't looking for a dog. We had a dog 5 years ago, and then when it died, I needed a break. I didn't want to go through that heartache again, blah, 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 blah. I enjoyed the freedom of not worrying about the yard being clean, all the things, the hair, extra expense.
That stuff adds up.
Right. So I was enjoying that. And across the street, as I'm working, I look across the street, and the people that were leaving had a similar-looking dog. And I watched. These idiots didn't have it on a leash, and the dog kept walking around, and there's cars coming down the street. But if they said, you know, hey, moron, or whatever the dog's name was, get over here, the dog would sit by them and just sit like, you're my person, I'm going to sit by you. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that for a puppy, that's a well-behaved dog. That's a good breed.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
If I ever see a breed like that, mm-hmm. well, Cindy has been looking online at Pet Finders, R Us, or whatever the heck they call themselves, and goes, look, if there's this one, it's 3 to 5 years old, or I don't remember, let's say 3 years mm-hmm. old, and his name is Seamus, or whatever his name is, and he's looking for a home, she's trying to sell me on it, because it's crate trained, and it's,
yeah,
you know, da-da-da-da-da-da, good dog, and it would be a good dog. But my thing was, I don't necessarily want to get a older dog, even though it's only 3 years old. Mm-hmm. It was somebody's dog. You don't know what the personality is going to be, even though they say it's sweet. You know, all of that. If you get a puppy, not that I wanted one, mm-hmm. you get a puppy, you train it from the beginning.
Yeah.
It knows no other way but what you train it. So she's like, maybe can we go see him? Fine. You can look into it. Go. Something happened because I saw that dog. And plus, I'm sitting here working all day, looking out the window. And you're thinking, I don't know, is it time? I know the kids deserve it. The kids can handle it. And
yeah.
I want to treat
them. That's the thing about dogs, you know.
Yeah. And so.
For the whole family.
Well, then she goes, you know, there's puppies too. Look at the puppies. And she didn't want a puppy. She didn't want a puppy. She just happened to say, look at the cute ones. Look at how cute they are. And I'm like, wait, is that at the same place? Yeah.
Uh-oh.
That looks like the same. What kind of breed is it? Because it looks like the same one I saw across the street. And I'm thinking, yeah, well, they said retriever. So if you get lab or retriever, pounce on it. Pounce on it. Mm-hmm. Those are beautiful, patient, wonderful dogs. So then she reads it off to me. Okay. It was like a bunch of girl puppies and a bunch of boy puppies that came out in this litter. Just available. Like just. August 8th, we'll say, it became available. Okay. Well, this is a week or two later. I'm like, while we're there, let's also look at the puppies. And she's like, really? I don't want a puppy. And I'm like, well, this breed, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Well, that night, Seamus, or whatever the dog's name was taken,
mm-hmm.
which we're happy for. Because, again, as much as Seamus might have been a sweet dog, I didn't want necessarily an older dog.
Well, yeah.
Because guess what? It's closer to death, too, and I don't want to go through that.
Yeah, and something you don't want to necessarily take care of shortly after getting one.
So, me being home, working from home, now's a good time. If we're going to have a puppy, let's get one. Mm-hmm. So Cindy starts asking, which you think wouldn't be a big deal. Give us your people to call. Let us know a little bit about you. And that's how most things work. Come and look at the puppies.
Yeah. Generally speaking.
You would think. This woman who lives in, like, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes away. So already I'm annoyed. I don't want to travel for this thing. So she starts back with the, well, wait a minute. Oh, have you guys ever had a dog before? So she's the one doing the texting. I'm doing the narrating back and forth with her because she's at work. She's sending me texts. Here's what they're saying. Here's what I'm telling her. So it went a little something like this. Have you guys ever had dogs before? Tell her. Yes, I've had dogs all my life since puppies. My father and I have trained them. We're good with all sorts of animals. This is not new to us.
Right.
Do you want our references? Well, wait a minute. Do you have a fenced-in yard? You have to have a fenced-in yard, and you have to only feed them this certain kind of hippie dog food. And, you know, you have to do the, and we're going, okay, we don't have a fenced-in yard, but we have a runner, and we've had dogs in this yard before. Oh, no, you have to have a fenced-in yard. I said, all right, look at. So apparently what she did was she Google mapped our house. Mm-hmm. So she looked at our big yard, and no offense. So she went, oh, no, you don't have a neighborhood for a dog. No, that won't work. Lady, I swear to God. Now, Cindy's handling this, but we're trying to be patient. And we're saying, no, we're not idiots. We are a family ready for – well, you shouldn't get a puppy. I mean, she's really overstepping her bounds. You people shouldn't have a puppy. You're not ready for a puppy. And, you know, when you do get a puppy – you have to only feed it this hippie food, and you can't use dryer sheets with scents, any sort of scent on it. And you have to walk them around on four different types of surfaces so they get used to what they have to walk on. And you have to, you know, it got stupid.
Wow.
It got so stupid to the point where...
Really anal retentive.
Yeah. And Cindy sent one final thing back because she's like, I'm ready to tell this lady to go pound sand. Mm-hmm. And she did an aerial map and drew where the fence would go. If we do get a fence, this is where it will go.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, that's it. If she comes back, we'll just tell her, never mind. This isn't, you're making this a horrible experience.
Yeah.
Now, and this that could easily turn
people. Yeah. And that could easily turn people off of wanting to even do business with her.
Exactly. And I'm not even remembering all the details of the goofiness. Like, she's overstepping. So then all of a sudden, beep, boop, would you like to come see the dog tonight? We can't tonight because we had already made plans. The kids were sleeping over at the grandparents and whatever. And but we're like, how about tomorrow morning? Sure. Now, you think that'd be the end of the story? No. Nope. Because she didn't give us the directions. She didn't give us the address that you could put in Google Map and just follow.
Oh, no.
And you couldn't call her. You couldn't call her because she didn't – she's like, what's your phone number? We'll text you or whatever. Here's a detailed map that I wrote out. Drive down 81, go to 380, there's a pink house, little pink house with flamingos, and John Mellencamp will be singing Little Pink Houses off to the side. And so we're on our way. And we need to call her because Cindy's phone wasn't working the way, like it wasn't picking up a signal. Mine was, I said, just find her number. We can't find her number on that pet finder thing, which should be listed.
Mm-hmm.
Cindy finds it. I call her. She goes, hello. Hi, it's Mac. We're on our way. Just want to let you know. Well, I gave you the directions. Okay. Do you have an actual address that we could type into? Yeah, but I wrote the steps down. Give me your address because I need to use Google Maps.
Yeah.
We are on our way.
Yeah, your handwritten directions don't help as much as you think they do.
Right, which they're a nice addition, but I also trust Google Maps a whole lot more. So she gives it to me. Where are you now? We're on our 81. Okay, so you should be here in about a half hour. Okay, I'll look for you. Bye. Okay, bye. So now we're driving, and we're excited. Now we're 2 minutes. We just took the last turn to go down the road. She's about five houses away, and the phone rings. Where are you? I'm standing outside. Look down the road. Here we come. So we pull over. Masks, and you got to have some hand sanitizer. Non-scented.
Yeah.
Okay, lady. Sure, we did all that. Here you go. And she's very nice once we talk to her. But she brings out, we wanted to see the girl. I thought we were going to get a girl. She brings out the girl and three boy puppies. Well, we go, hi! She goes, no loud noises, no screechy, no high-pitched noises. I'm like, you know, when we're rescuing this dog, we are rescuing this dog. So the one that runs to us, and, you know, the others were shy, and I'm sure they're great too, but Duffy was the one that came, hi, I love you, and I love you, and I love you, and now I'm going to go around again.
Yeah.
So I also got to meet the mother. She goes, the mother's here. I said, can I meet her? You know, and I'm petting her, and I could tell that she's a sweet dog who's sitting on my lap and mid-size. And yeah. I tell her, we're going to take good care of your boy. It was important that I got to see the mom and say that.
Yeah.
You know, we're good people. So now we get out of there. We have to get the dog food that she has. That's an extra $40. And the house is filled with dogs. I'm sure they're all clean. Mm-hmm. They're all well taken care of. But the room that I have to go in to get the food, there's a nasty German Shepherd at the gate, that which is, by the way, a mid-sized gate that if it wants to, it could jump over.
Oh, yeah, easily, probably.
And she goes, just ignore him. I'm like, don't worry. Get the food. Bring the dog. Now we have to – we're on our way, and the dog's whining because imagine you've never been anywhere. You're only 8 weeks old, and you've never been out of that house, and now here we are taking them away. So he's whining, and I'm sitting in the passenger side, and I'm talking to him and calming him down. Well, by the time we get to PetSmart to get the bed and the whatever,
and all the,
you know,
other accoutrement,
Ooh, accoutrement.
Hey.
Hey.
It's a $10 word.
I'm telling
you. Feel free to use it.
I don't have that kind of money. Yeah, by the time we get there, he's comfortable in my arms, so much so that I'm carrying him. If you look at the picture that I posted that we had taken in Petco or PetSmart, it's I'm holding him like a wrinkled little football. He fell asleep in my arms as we're walking by cats and birds and other dogs. He just doesn't care. He's like, yeah, I see them. They're cool.
Well, yeah, no, he's content.
And he fell asleep. So long story short, he is a heck of a dog. He is already – we already have him house trained.
That's good.
He was pretty, you know, the first couple days he would pee in his bed. Just, I don't know why he didn't understand that. Like, no. That may be yours, but that's not yours to do that with.
Yeah.
And now he goes to the door, sits there and whines. I'm like, perfect. I have him sitting. I had him sitting within 5 seconds.
Nice.
He's just a good boy, and he's still such a puppy. And the only difference is his legs are a little longer and his snout is longer than the original. When I look at those pictures, you could tell.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're growing up.
But I'm telling you, what a sweet, sweet dog. So this is the first, if you look at the pictures I posted last night, Mikey got to put on his, well, it's right behind my head, his first, Duffy's first Christmas, 2021.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then around it, we have Zoe's and Ginger's and,
We have some ones for Brooke as well. So I completely get that.
Yeah. And I had, you know, Mikey picks him up and he doesn't know what's going on. We're like, oh, you don't know what Christmas is. You're going to love it. Wait until you see snow.
Yeah. Oh God. Seeing a dog's reaction to seeing snow the first time is priceless.
Right. But I'm telling you, when I'm working, I posted that other picture. Anybody who wants to see it, you can find me on Facebook and Twitter and all that to see these pictures, because I'm constantly posting of our little baby now. Even though he's getting bigger, he wants to sleep on my lap, which is great if I'm in my chair watching TV. Love it. When I'm working, though, he doesn't understand. Like, I need these hands free to type and use the mouse or whatever. He puts his head resting over my arm and goes out. Well, now I'm trying to work, and that's good for maybe a half hour, maybe 40 minutes, but then enough. Like, the weight is just too much, and I have to put him down. But I'm telling you, if it were up to him, he'd never leave my lap. You know.
That's
but
cool.
So that was what we did last night. After we got home, we put the ornaments on the tree and then
Very
watched
cool.
watched Hawkeye. The first two episodes of Hawkeye.
Yeah, those were wonderful.
Surprise, surprise, Marvel's done it again.
Yeah.
And it's so I'm much curious to see to what
the underlying tone will be. I have a funny feeling it's going to be overcoming things of your past.
Oh, by the way, everybody, we don't avoid spoilers. We're not looking to spoil things on people, but because this is a conversation,
they may pop out.
Yeah. So we're not going to be blatant about it.
Yeah, consider this a heads up if you haven't watched the first two episodes.
Or anything that we talk
about.
Pause
and come back.
Yeah. If you think we're going that way, skip ahead 5 minutes. Yeah, love it, love it, love it. She wasn't obnoxious. Cindy said, she's a delight. I said, yeah she is. Because she's not trying to be cutesy.
The whole banter and everything between them has been fun. It's going to be interesting to see where they go with it.
You know what I love, too? Love that it's a Christmas season.
Yeah, they're premiering it at the right time, and they're having it play out naturally.
The build-up to,
over the next couple weeks, because I think it ends...
Six episodes, right?
Yeah, six episodes, and I think it ends the week right before Christmas, I think.
There you go. And that's right when Spider-Man hits is on my birthday, so...
Yeah.
Happy
birthday for that.
Thank you. it's funny, too, because it really gets you the Christmas spirit. As a matter of fact, a couple years ago, right before the pandemic, mm-hmm. or the year before the pandemic, we got to go to New York around Christmas time. My aunt likes us to go. We take a bus, blah, 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 blah. It's a whole day. But the one scene where they're walking in the second episode through Times Square, I know exactly where that is. I go, look, there's the Disney store we went in. I know exactly where that is. And next time we go, it'll be one of those like, oh, wow, look at this is where Hawkeye walked. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, I love that stuff. And then, of course, we're watching Earth Cam, which mm-hmm. is on just to have some. If you don't want to hear noise, but you kind of want to look up once in a while, you put Earth Cam on and they'll show you Times Square. And they had the parade route at Macy's from across the street. So we're looking the night before Thanksgiving down on the parade route.
Mm-hmm.
And have you seen Serendipity?
Years ago.
Okay. The way it begins is it shows from the top of the building coming down Macy's where the woman grabs the gloves and hands them off to somebody else and goes to a different window. And then it right. comes down to the next floor, all the way down to the first floor where the scene starts. I'm looking at that side of the building. I'm like, look it, that's where the camera went. I could see where they probably set up the crane to do that mm-hmm. shot, you know.
That's
I'm like,
cool.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, things like that.
Very cool. Oh, may have to check that out.
Yeah, yeah. It's as much as it's a flawed movie because both couples, you want them to be together, but the people that they're with did absolutely nothing wrong. So, yeah. You know, as much as you root for them, they're still the jerks of the story. It's still charming, and it's got, you know, David Gray and Nick Drake songs in it. And it's a Christmas, one of the many Christmas movies we watch during this season.
Yeah.
But wait, there are things I couldn't wait to tell you. Oh, okay. As you guys know, commission credentials is Nate's business.
Yes.
And I'm constantly, by the way, telling friends about this because for just to get an ID that is like a movie or a show ID, it's $5. Mm-hmm. $5. You can have it look exactly like it. You can have it personalized. You could get your mug on it, whatever.
Yep.
So while we were at Nate's, I bought a MacGyver one and a Gil Grissom one, of course. And you
went with the new Gil Grissom, not the original Gil Grissom.
Yep, because of the current season, which we could talk about soon.
All except for the latest episode. I haven't caught up yet.
Me too. but yeah, we got those, and I figure whenever Mikey and I want to swap, we can just use them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know. So anyway, that was right before Halloween. On Halloween, Mikey is going to have his friend over. He feels too old, apparently, to go trick-or-treating.
Mm.
And he had his friend over. Well, now he wishes that he had gone because I took Everly. Yeah. Cindy stayed home with him and his friend, who they had a great time. But
that's good.
She dressed as Sally from Nightmare Before Christmas, did her own makeup, and did a heck of a job. I thought, well, I'm going to go out, and the jacket that I'm wearing was my flight jacket. Okay, I'm wearing... Oh, you know what? I have my CSI hat, which is identical to Gil Grissom's.
Yeah.
I have I put my glasses on, which I now have glasses for driving at night. Basically, I could see here clearly to, you know, mid-range starts to get a little blurry.
Yeah.
But beyond that, it's hard to read signs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went all on my own. As a matter of fact, I walked in to get the glasses to get an eye exam, and they're like, do you have a doctor's thing? No, I know I need them. Guys, you hear this? He came in on his own. This guy, I thought they were going to throw a parade for me. I'm like, yeah, well, I could tell I need glasses.
Well, yeah, it's because most people don't get glasses until it's forced on them.
Right.
That's why.
And like, guys, just look at this guy. Come here. Meet this guy. He's getting glasses. Holy crap. So, and they are, they're very, because I don't need them all the time. I don't need them to read.
Right.
It's about far sight. It's not the near sight, which most people, it is. They're Gil Grissom glasses. They're just wire-frame glasses. They're not very intrusive. And thank God they look decent on me. So I had the hat on. I put the glasses on. I went, wait a minute. And I went and grabbed your ID and hung it from my zipper.
Nice.
Yeah. So Everly and I have a wonderful time walking around the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
But they go, did you see Michael Myers? So what do you mean? There's a guy a couple blocks up dressed as Michael Myers just standing in the middle of the street going after people. Okay, I guess that's where we're headed. So I'm walking up and there's these kids, you know, behind us, older kids, like teenagers, walking. And Everly goes to the one house. I said, oh, baby, you better hurry up because out of the shadows, here comes Mike Myers. Which is really kind of cool if, you know, that's your thing.
Yeah.
He doesn't talk. He just walks slowly towards you.
Stays in character.
Holding a knife.
Mm-hmm.
I said, hurry up, sweeties. I'm coming. And he comes to me. And she's like, okay, Mr. Michael Myers, I'm leaving. Bye-bye. Ha, 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 ha. And he comes towards me, and I hold up my ID. I said, Gil Grissom, CSI, move along. And he just kind of went, oh. And he just kept walking. I'm like, that's what I thought. And of course, later on, a kid runs up to me, and the teenagers are like, hi, excuse me, are you the police? I said, no, Gil Grissom, CSI. I work with the police. I'm not the police.
Right.
He goes, oh, okay, cool. Like, he didn't know. He's like, oh, okay, he's Gil Grissom. He's not the police. He works with the police. Okay. So I figured you'd be proud that they got put to good use.
And if you say it with the pranker.
Yeah, if you say it with a straight face, they go, oh, okay. Well, thank you, sir. Have a good night. And they just walked away. He didn't want to have anything to do with me.
Yeah.
Him and his friend walked away.
That's funny.
But, yeah, it was good. I'm trying to think. There's so much to tell you, even though I just saw you. Oh,
yeah.
Let's get into quick movie things.
Yes.
Saw Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi.
Sure.
I found out how to properly pronounce it.
I know.
I was doing the same thing.
Well, everybody's done the same thing since the 70s because the way it's spelled is Shang-Chi.
Mm-hmm.
But then they changed it to Shang because he could say Sean, as you know from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It really shows the wildness of language.
Oh, sure. Oh, it's a mess. It's a freaking mess. I mean, Chinese is almost as bad as trying to understand English. I hate trying to explain English because our stuff makes no sense whatsoever.
It's never as bad as trying to read Russian, though, because I was describing to somebody, Russian... Reading Russian is like seeing somebody that took every letter of the alphabet and just threw it against a wall, and however it landed on the wall, that's what they use. Mm-hmm. And I mean, more power to the people who can read it.
Well, you know,
I can't.
Not to change direction wildly, but it brings me to a constant thought that I have whenever somebody would pick on, basically anybody from a different country.
Mm-hmm.
you have to understand, and again, not to go down a rabbit hole, but it was brought to my attention, as it frequently is, that I don't care what you say about anybody's situation or anybody's background. These people, whether they be Mexican or Asian or whatever, they know English. Mm-hmm. Even if it's broken English, they know
the irony is English is one of the hardest languages to learn.
So my
because point, of the utter insanity that is our language.
And my point is that they know a lot more of my language than I know of theirs. So mm-hmm. they win. They're bilingual. I am not. You yep. have to give respect to people.
Absolutely.
It's, you know, the reason it came to mind was I'm listening to podcasts. I can't, while I'm working, I cannot listen to story-driven podcasts where you have to follow a plot. You know what I'm saying? But I can listen to things like This American Life.
Yeah.
And things where it's just people talking short little quick stories. Yeah. So one of them was talking about, you know, the school system during COVID and how this one school has all these different people, all these different kids from all over the world crammed together in a classroom. And the teacher is trying to go, okay, sir, where are you from? What's your name? Okay, and where are you? What language do you speak? Well, they're already speaking in a broken language. She misunderstands because they have the air conditioner running, and he's in the back of the class. Mm. And basically, that was the idea of the piece: was boy, they got their work cut out for them. But again, you're reminded that they still speak at least two languages.
Yeah,
that is, I can't handle one. So, anywho, so yeah, love that movie.
Oh, wonderfully done. I'm curious to see with like the bonus scenes at the end, mm-hmm. how they're going to help just flush out the next major arc. Because, you know, they're already starting to lay the groundwork for.
Now, the thing in the ring, we don't know what that's about.
No clue whatsoever yet.
Okay. Because I've heard theories, but again, just like with this Spider-Man No Way Home, I don't want to know too much.
Yeah, right now there's just a lot of speculation, a lot of theorizing, and some of it is getting kind of annoying because it's like, okay, you've got major leaps of logic from A to get to B, but then you don't go to C, you end up at like G. And it's like, I have no clue how you managed to do that. Let's just wait and see how it plays out.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I had this conversation. Mikey is so pumped, as he should be, for Spider-Man No Way Home. Cannot wait. We're going to go to the theater, I think, to see this, because we're not going to wait until it comes out on DVD or whatever. Dying to see it. Multiple Spider-Mans. Daredevil. Holy crap. All of this. Yeah. But he wants to talk about it, and he wants to theorize about what this means and when are they going to show up and how is this going to happen. And I'm to the point where I'm going, I already know too much. Because even the teaser trailer gave away a lot.
It gave away a lot, but it left a lot of unanswered questions. And because of those unanswered questions, people want those answers. And it's like, guys, I think the trailers have given you just enough. And anybody that's familiar with the way these trailers are edited knows the scenes we saw were not complete scenes.
Right.
There's things that have been digitally removed or digitally tweaked because I remember seeing Thor Ragnarok trailers. Thor had both eyeballs in those trailers until the movie when we realized, that's
yeah,
rough.
Yeah.
You know, but they're smart when they come to when they do these things. In some sequences it may look a little odd or blatant that something's missing. But it's missing because they want to give people that are going to those theaters that reward of going and seeing the movie.
Right.
You know, they want people to come out of that theater and be like pumped and just excited to turn back around and go see the movie again.
Yeah. And that's, you know, from that, the teaser was longer than the actual trailer when the trailer finally hit. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, enough. I don't need to, because now they're coming out with variations of TV commercials where there's new scenes.
Yeah, which I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't want that. I don't. Yeah. I'm like, no, enough. I know too much. Let's get that away. No, thank you. Bye-bye. And I had to explain to Mikey, I know you want to talk about it. And once this movie's out, we'll talk about it for years.
Mm-hmm.
But I told him about certain movies that I did see, and the best parts that were in the movie were in the trailer. And I remember seeing going, oh, whoa. So what your mind does is your mind gets used to going, okay, here's the part from the trailer. Now you wait. Oh, there's another part. So you're hit by the beats of where the trailer scenes came in that you're not enjoying the over feeling, that constant mm-hmm. flow of a movie. And so if I had my wish, it would be to, the day before we see it, wipe out any memory of any scene from it at all. I want to go in fresh. I want to be, you know, everything, have it be brand new.
Yeah, no, I get that. Absolutely.
That's where I'm at.
And I think one of the other things that can unfortunately happen with a lot of the saturation I do with some of these trailers is it ends up building this almost impossible expectation for some people.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. It can. And that's why, again, once it comes out, I know you and I will be talking about it a lot.
Oh, more than likely.
Let's just say our next meetup on this podcast will be when we're going to discuss it, because by then I'm sure we'll see it.
Amongst a bunch of other films, I'm sure.
Sure. Well, the other one I saw, which I couldn't wait to tell you, was Let There Be Carnage.
Have not seen that one. That with the Venom movie, I waited until it was out on, I think, DVD or streaming or what have you.
Sure.
And it was worth that. With the second one, as much of a Woody Harrelson fan as Jess and I are, I'm still gonna just wait, just because
the bonus scene is the best part.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing from a lot of people, and I kind of already know what the bonus scene is, because okay. I'm just gonna
really?
Spoil it for myself. Oh. Just because there's no way I would be able to wait. Definitely if it ties in, like we definitely heavily imply, to another film coming up. So
right. So yeah, your feeling is right. There's no complaint per se, except to say what I always say is, just because it's a cool character doesn't mean it needs to have its own film. Yeah. Both movies would have been great subplots for a Spider-Man movie. Let me put it to you that way. There's a reason why the sequel is so darn short.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do much with it. It's a great villain for Spider-Man. We don't need to have focused movies on villains. Let them be there.
Yeah. Have them be the primary focus of the respective hero they go up against.
That, yeah, because that's it.
Looking at The Dark Knight, they did a wonderful job. The Dark Knight is as much a Joker film as it is a Batman film.
Without a doubt. Whereas the Joker, I was like, I don't like this. I mean, yeah, it's fine. It's directed fine. It's acted fine. That's not really the point. Yeah. At the end of the day, this movie did not need to happen.
No. I mean, it's an interesting
take
film, but yeah.
Right? Like, you're like, okay, the world wasn't screaming for this. Somebody wanted to be artsy with a DC villain, mm-hmm. and I don't agree with whatever that version of it was. And, you know, whatever. I saw it. I don't ever need to see it again. But again, the whole purpose of a villain is to build up the hero. Because if you give him a great villain, it brings out the best aspects of a great hero.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a dull villain, it's not really that interesting to watch the good guy kick the crap out of him. You're like, yeah, well, that was easy.
Yeah, absolutely.
We watched, I had the kids, because they're old enough to handle the cursing and all.
Mm-hmm.
They watched all the Scream movies.
Oh, good.
Right?
Good.
And love them. Love as they should.
Yeah, the Scream movies are pretty solid. Curious to see what the next one's going to be bringing in.
Well, his point was, is the next one going to have Sydney in it? Because you have to have Sydney in it. I said, I know, because without that, remember they had a TV show a couple years ago, the Scream TV
Vaguely
show?
Recall it. Vaguely okay. recall it.
It was on MTV. I watched it. It was fine, but one, it had nothing to do with Sydney or anybody. Mm. It was just, it was a different group of kids. And the whole thing was they took the formula of this group of kids, they're all going to get picked off one by one, And eventually you're going to realize that this guy over here was the main killer all the time. Wait, he also had this guy. So you're just playing the countdown game watching the season.
Gotcha.
And then I guess they did a second season and it just didn't hold up and like enough.
It was probably premise wise. It was one of those that it could have only really worked as a single season series.
If that, because again, you didn't have Sydney. Mikey's point was,
yeah,
if you don't have Sydney in a sequel, don't bother doing it. And I agree. Like, look at the Halloween movies. They're there, but you need, what, Laurie or whatever the heck her name is.
Laurie Strode, yep.
Yeah. That's what does it. And then you'll be very proud to know I had him watch Die Hard.
Oh, really?
Okay. I did.
And then am I going to disown your kid?
Why?
I don't know. I'm just curious because if your kid says it's not a Christmas movie, sorry, we're done.
It's nice knowing you.
because
listen, well, listen.
Here's the thing with a lot of people's take on Die Hard as a Christmas movie. In a real world situation, yes, that plot could be utilized at a birthday party, whatever.
Sure.
But for the excuse of people in an office setting being there after hours, a Christmas-themed party is the only thing that realistically makes sense in that framed setting.
Well, I disagree, but I can see what you're saying. Yeah, but it doesn't make it a Christmas movie. It's there. He agrees with what you just said. Because mm-hmm. He went in, God bless him. He said, listen, I've heard you guys talk about this. I want to go in and I'll give you my own judgment. I want to see it. And we watched it. And we watched the whole darn thing. And I waited for the end credits. And I mm-hmm. turned to him. And he goes, in no way is that a Christmas movie. And I said, okay, I agree. But he then brings up all the things that you said. Yes, they're there because it's Christmas. It happens to be Christmas Eve. But other than that beginning scene of here's why we're together, the rest of the movie, other than when they play Christmas song at the end, mm-hmm. and he says, ho, 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 now I have a gun. There's nothing Christmas. It's not driven by the spirit of Christmas. It's not trying to save Christmas spirit. You know, and then we started playing the game of, all right, let's go down some lists of other movies that could be debatable. Which, by the way, I had him watch the second Die Hard, which in my opinion is the worst of the four that I've seen because...
Yeah, that's one of the weaker ones.
Because they went with, oh, you like cursing? So it has to be mother effer every other sentence. And some of the action scenes were stupid.
Yeah, there were ones that were just like, really? You went with that sequence?
Let me give you the example, the biggest one for me. He's in the plane, and they lock him in the plane. Right before the ejection seat, they pull the pin on the grenades, lob in four or five grenades.
Mm-hmm.
How long does it take for a grenade to go off?
I have no idea. A couple seconds, I imagine.
4 seconds. It's officially 4 seconds.
Okay.
He's there, and we counted 20 seconds from when it went in for where he climbed his hiney into the ejector seat, had time to put the belt on, said a funny little line, and pulled the lever, which then ejected him as it blew up. And I went, I know the director doesn't care because, by the way, oh, here's the other half of the argument. He remembers you saying, well, you got to watch the making of movies that made us on Die Hard. They'll tell you it's a Christmas movie. They didn't. We watched it right after it because he's like, can we watch that now? Nate says we have to watch. I said, fine. So we watch it and they never say Christmas. They never mention it. But my point is anytime you watch one of those movies that made us, movies that made us in particular, they always interview one miserable SOB.
They do always seem to find the one miserable SOB from each project, don't
and
they?
And the director happened to be the one for Die Hard. And talk about a guy who didn't give a rat's rear. I don't know if he did the second one or not, but this guy was a miserable a-hole. I'm like, you are not pleasant to listen to or be around, and holy crap. But anyway, we felt, as bad as the second one was, for those reasons. Still very intense, very, you know, whatever. Glad to have seen it. That at least felt closer to Christmas than the first one, because, again, doesn't hit all the marks of what a Christmas movie is, but it happened to be, they reminded you constantly, Christmas Eve, people are in the crowded Christmas decorated airport, and they're in the snow a lot. So I'm like, that feels at least closer to it. You know what I mean?
I can see your
I'm trying. There. Like, I was trying. Yeah. I got to tell Nate something good about that. At least the second one felt more closer to Christmas. Because then we got on the conversation of, okay, how about Home Alone? I said Home Alone is a Christmas movie. Even though there's that action. Mm-hmm. And yes, they have been sequels where it's just the action and there's no Christmas. There's no, you know, connection.
Yeah. Yeah. Specifically, the first Home Alone movie would be definitely a Christmas film.
But why?
The
other ones, do you know why?
Because of the lesson that Kevin learns by the end of the film.
And the old guy next door. The old guy next door, that added scene of him sitting in the church with them, you know, it's Christmas Eve, and, blah, 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 and they constantly remind you, and, you know, well, shouldn't you be together on Christmas Eve? They keep talking about the spirit of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, again, since then I've had watched it because I wanted to. I heard the debate on that. And I went, no, the old man alone saves it. Because if it had just been Kevin in the beginning talking about Christmas, and on Christmas Day the mother comes home, it wouldn't be enough. But because of those little sections throughout the whole thing, in particular the old man who at the end reconciles with the sun and the snow, and I feel that Christmas spirit when I see that. Right? Like, and I go, that saves it. And the second one, they're in New York, and it's very, you know, decorated thusly. Blah, 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 blah. But then after that, the ones without Kevin are just...
It's just, they're just cash grabs.
Oh, and there's a new one. Do you know there's a new one?
Yeah, I'd seen they're working on another one, or they had worked on another
one. It's coming out, or if it's out now, it's on Disney Plus. They have a cameo by his brother, who's a cop. The bully, the redheaded bully.
Yeah, I remember seeing him in one of the trailers. It's like, okay, that's kind of a weird loose connection to the original, but
right, because the kid is a little British kid. I don't know if I don't know if he's Asian or not, but
no, I think he's one of the actors that was in the Jojo Rabbit movie.
I didn't see that one, but yeah, I'm like, oh boy, you guys really can't stop trampling on good stuff.
Yeah,
I've watched the other sequels, by the way, not on purpose, but they happen to be on and you get curious. There's one where it's supposed to be Kevin, you know.
Really?
I don't know if we talked about this. I think it's supposed to be Kevin and his parents have gotten divorced.
Okay.
And the father has been remarried and has a big expensive house that kind of basically is there just to set up Kevin, whoever this kid is with the dark hair. Is going to use it, all the high-tech tools, to drop a brick on somebody's head.
Oh, geez.
Exactly. But most importantly, are you implying that the parents, after all the kids and all the crap that they went through in the first two movies, they get divorced?
Yeah.
Now, maybe I'm wrong, but the way I saw it, I'm like, no, that's supposed to be Kevin.
That's wild. Yeah,
oh.
I haven't seen any of them past the first two, so.
Count your blessings. You did see Ghostbusters, though. I haven't seen it yet.
Ghostbusters Afterlife. Yeah, Jess and I actually went and saw it on Harold Ramis' birthday.
Nice.
And it was spectacular.
Good.
A lot of people, I think, initially were saying, oh, this is a love letter to the fans. Ghostbuster fans. And I'm like, no. No, this was, and I think Jess put it best, this was more of a love letter to Harold Ramis and Egon Spengler.
Really? Nice. Yeah. Okay.
Very well done. And in hindsight, going back and like looking at the trailers don't set you up for squat, really.
Good. Good. Good.
And it just, it's one of those films, I told Jess after we'd watched it, I'm thinking about trying to go see it again with my cousin maybe next week.
Nice.
It's, yeah, I told Jess that's definitely going to be on my list for getting as soon as it comes out.
Oh, sure. Yeah, well, we'll see it as soon as possible. There's a show that's on, Netflix called Midnight Mass. Have you heard
about
it?
Jess has watched it.
Okay. Did she tell you anything about it?
She's more or less told me most about it just because I'm not into that type of TV show and stuff. So, because it's made by the same guy that did The Haunting of Bly Manor.
Which I didn't see.
And there was another one. Hill House.
Okay. Didn't see that one yet either.
Yeah.
Is that a series?
Each series is its own self-contained story. He might use some of the same actors, but it's independent story arcs.
Oh, okay. I might check those out then. Around Halloween time, I try to make myself watch
some
of the classics.
Like that.
Yeah. So
I know there is animal death in The Haunting of Hill House. And I think there was, I think maybe implied animal death in Bly Manor, I think. So just heads up if any of that makes you uncomfortable, you know, just.
Yeah. As long as they don't have to, like, as long as they're not, believe me, these scumbags who show videos of dogs getting killed. They do that on Facebook and they are just, look at what these people did. No, I don't want to. Just say it happened and move on. We don't need to watch it, and it kills me.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. Spoilers for anybody who cares. Midnight Mass. Our friend who I went to school with, Kelly, she comes in typically once a year, and we get together for an evening and have dinner, and sometimes go back to her mom's to visit with her mom. And we were talking about it because I just started. I got maybe 3 episodes in, and she goes, "Oh, it gets bad after the 4th episode. It's not good after that." I said, "Really? Oh, well, flip it for me, because it did become good. Because originally, it starts off with this guy. He lived on an island off, we'll say, Maine. It's like a little village on an island."
Mm-hmm.
He had moved away, he drank, he got in a car crash, killed a teenager, went to jail, and is now coming home. When he comes home, you're getting to know the town. And there's an old priest there who goes away, that Monsignor. Well, a new priest comes in to take his place. I'm not going to give away too much of it, but there are vampires involved, and you don't see that coming. It's a heck of a twist, because I'm telling you, first 4 episodes, other than listening to a Tom Chapin song pop up in episode 2, yeah, because and it was a song.
You're such a nerd.
No, it was a song called Saturday Morning, and it's on Harry Chapin's Greatest Stories Live. And what Harry did was, he loves his brother, so he put on that song from Tom, and then a live version of one of Steve's songs.
Mm-hmm.
Amazingly generous, wonderful. But it's a great song, and Tom sounds wonderful. Well, they put that on the show.
Cool.
And it's so obscure that I felt, you get that chill. You're like, this is part of me. I want to tell people all about this. Like, all right, sit down. I got to tell you the history of the song. You know, that type of thing? Where you're like, this is so part of my fiber that is now there for the world. But other than that, the first 4 episodes, I don't care. Who cares? Nothing's really happening.
Yeah.
But then it does. And when it does, it doesn't stop. And it's a sad but right ending.
Yeah. Yeah, and that seems to be the general thing with, I think it's Mike Flanagan, I think, is the guy behind those shows. That's like his thing. He does good, solid stories like that. Jess just dropped off a note for me give the heads up about the animal death and whatnot. There are kittens die in Hill House episode 2, she thinks. And then she doesn't recall anything in Bly Manor.
I did start to watch that one.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah, but I haven't gone back to it.
Okay.
She has a box of kittens out in the yard, and yeah, they start to die.
Yeah.
But it's not the graphic.
Yeah. But yeah, she goes, she doesn't recall anything in Bly Manor. In Midnight Mass, episode one, there's dead cats, and then in episode two, there's apparently a dead dog.
Right, but so. You know what? It's very much implied as opposed to shown.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Because I did start to watch that one that you mentioned, The Haunting of Hill House or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's slow moving. I'm like, okay, all right. There was another one, too, that I started, but again, it's on Netflix. I'll watch it at some point when I feel like
it. Oh, yeah. Well, that's the nice thing about some of those shows. You can do the slow burn on them to just pick at them. Or you can turn around and say, you know what? Sod it. I'm going to sit here and just binge the entire series.
Just to get – well, that's how I felt about the Midnight Mass. Mm-hmm. Somebody talked about it. I was home over the weekend last week. I felt like crap when I was going through my spell. I'm like, I'll just watch it. I'll just finish this. Yeah. And I went, holy crap, this became good.
Yeah, I think Jess watched Midnight Mass while we were both quarantined for a couple weeks. So
it hasn't been out long.
Yeah.
You watching anything that you recommend?
Well, I've been still going through a rewatch of Babylon 5. I'm on season 5.
I was
going
to mention, you have to send me where I need to begin.
Oh, yep.
Just send me a text or whatever, because I want to find it.
I'll take a shot of that for you and send it your way. It's been good. Some of the different plot lines and stuff hit a bit different now in, 2021.
Sure.
Compared to, the last time I had done a rewatch. But did that, watching NCIS, or not NCIS, watching CSI Vegas.
Oh, of course. Which we love.
One episode behind. Me too. Chomping at the bit to see where this is going to go, because I know we're getting close to the end of this arc that they're doing, because it's a series event to see if there's interest to continue.
Yeah.
I like to think there is, because it's been phenomenal,
Well, Sarah, Georgia Fox, said recently in a post that, yeah, I know, sweetie, thank you. She just wrote this, and I was going to remind him to watch Chicago PD.
Ironically, you are not the only person to say that to me within the last 48 hours.
I'm not kidding.
That is on my list of things. Once I get
our wives are doing it well. They are not interrupting. They are sneaking us notes. But look.
I see it.
It's just as important to me as it is. And it's that good. We're like, this is so made for Nate. He will enjoy every aspect of this freaking show.
Well, it's funny. On Wednesday, I had done a guest spot or whatever on Cameron. I can't think of the guy's last name. But he's somebody that you know from chatting with and everything there on, I guess, Twitter or through one of the Facebook pages or what have you.
Really?
And you were on one of his episodes, I believe, for Stargate or MacGyver.
Oh,
probably
I know
MacGyver.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm going to be back on there. We're doing stuff.
He's already reached out to me see if I'd be interested in more. I'm like, yeah, probably,
Me too. We did a Stargate one.
As long as you don't mind me gabbing for hours.
Yeah, we did a Stargate one already, and we're going to do others. Because I'm like, there's things that I know that I'll be happy to chime in about. Other things, I don't know enough to talk of, but you get me on the right topic. I'm your guy.
Oh, yeah. We ended up chatting for several hours about Longmire. So that was
go.
Fun.
There you go. I started that, I told you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing well.
Good. But yeah, with the that whole thing went really well. And he had actually... I don't remember if it was during the actual interview section or after we were done re-recording, he had made a remark about, you should probably check out the Chicago PD if you like this type of stuff. I'm like, yeah, Mac has been on me about that.
I really am. I'm not going to sleep until you get.
But
going
no, that
on
is, that is on my list. I want to wait until I'm almost done with Babylon 5. Cause I've noticed current shows I can keep up with while watching like an already established show that's off the air or whatever. But trying to watch like two or three programs all at the same time, you get muddled, you get confused, you forget where you were at. So it's easier to focus on one and then
this is going
to
be one
off my plate. Shift to this one.
this is going to be one that you're going to be hooked on and go, I got to see what happens next. Holy crap, I got to see what okay, all right, great. I'll eat dinner, but now I got to see the next episode. Because yeah. That's what we do.
That's what a lot of times I do. I'll sit there and I'll watch an episode while I'm eating, or okay, Jess has gone to bed. I need something to watch to unwind. Watch another episode or three,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I'm telling you. This is going to be that, and you're going to thank me for it. You hear me, everybody? Nate is going to thank me for being a pain about this show. Chicago PD. If all you right. guys aren't watching it, for the love of God, what are you waiting for? But back to CSI.
Yeah, CSI has been phenomenal. I like how they've shown how like the technology in that field have evolved, how the lab evolved.
Yeah, it's a different location.
It's a different location. They've, you know, gotten, you know, they still have the old standbys, but they also have new tech. Mm-hmm. I like how nobody's really being dismissive of each other. Mm-hmm. You know, like the one guy that I wasn't 100% certain how to like kind of, I don't want to say he seemed cold, but he seemed.
No, I know exactly here. I said the exact same thing.
There was just something about the character that you just couldn't place.
Yeah.
Well, at the end of this, not this past week's episode, but the one with the horse.
That was this past week's.
Well, yeah. Sorry, not this week. Last week, yeah.
Right.
I'm like, okay. I'm starting to see more about this character, and I'm starting to kind of dig him a little bit more. He just seemed kind of outsider in type.
Yeah.
Vibes or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm curious to see where they're going to go with it. Definitely with the way they ended last week's episode. So,
well, Georgia Fox said that she and William Peterson mm-hmm. filmed a lot of ad-lib scenes of them kissing, holding hands,
aww.
Being supportive of each other, putting an arm on each other. You know, things that they would do as a couple.
Yeah.
And whoever was in charge of the show didn't use it. She's like, I don't know why they wouldn't do that. Like it's nothing big. It doesn't need a whole lot of focus.
It's just little, yeah. It's just little touches to help add, you know, to
because
just
now they
the characters.
Can. Now we get to see them as a couple, and I love it. I love yeah. their little jokes and teases and admiration for each other. Like yeah. they constantly say wonderful things about each other to other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
absolutely.
And I want more of that. As much as I love CSI, it's Grissom that is the anchor or the hook for me, I should say.
Yeah.
When he wasn't on the show, yeah, okay, it was still CSI. It was still good. But you always missed. It's same thing like yeah. Jack not being on SG-1. Yeah, all right, still got quality, but you're missing Jack. Well, in this yeah. one, you're missing
Grissom. There are certain things. They don't necessarily have to be in every scene or every sure. episode. They don't have to dominate, but they're kind of like the linchpin, the thing that, you know, you need to know that they are around, they exist, you know.
And because
having
time...
them pop up every now and then in the episode or every couple episodes, it helps. It's that reminder of, hey, this still exists.
And also your eyes are just glued to the every little moment. That it's David Tennant has the same thing. Mm-hmm. If he's on screen, I don't care who else is there. You love to watch these people.
Oh, absolutely.
They don't have to say a line. They could be being spoken to, but the camera will focus on them mm-hmm. because they're little, the way they look or the way they tilt their head.
Yeah, like the little idiosyncrasies that we all have.
Yeah. Oh, you're charming. I want to watch what you're doing.
Exactly, like yeah. They have that innate charm about them that just pulls you in.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? I want to make sure. I mean, I'm reading things. I'll tell you about that in a second. But I want to make sure that you mentioned
shows.
There's
anything else really that I've watched that we haven't already mentioned.
Right. Because I tried to make sure I didn't. It's always the same. As soon as we end one of these, I'm like, ah.
Oh yeah, crap. I'm inevitably one of us will send a text like, oh,
I meant to tell
God,
him
this
story,
this.
Or yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, show wise, no. I mean, I've gotten into a couple different hobbies, but we'll touch on that after you tell me about what you've been reading.
Well, Comicology. I've been getting my books digitally, as you know,
mm-hmm.
and I'm so glad that I do. It reminds me of why I love comics, because they have Comicsology will do a sale every week of different stuff. Marvel drops their prices, but not always that much. But when they do, you better snag what you can snag while it's available. And they have a Black Friday sale, and they have this, that, the other type of sale. So I just go in, and all right, my books that I normally get, I might get three or four of the week that are brand new issues. Well, that leaves a whole lot of space in my budget that if I do see something that's worth it, for example, IDW, I think it is, they have a sale, and they have all the graphic novels of G.I. Joe from Marvel and IDW, everything, which are normally $20, we'll say, or
more. Sounds about right. 15 to 20, I think, is usually what a graphic novel runs, I think.
$1.99.
Whoa, that's cool.
I snagged every single one that I didn't already have, because a couple months ago I grabbed, they had a sale, and I got two or three, because it was a G.I. Joe sale. I don't know why. Yeah. G.I. Joe,
well, I think IDW also does the, I think they have the Ghostbusters
license,
comics now. Yep.
And if I ever see a sale on those, I'll scoop up more of those, especially the crossovers with the Turtles. And
oh, yeah. They do a wonderful job. I mean, heck, even within the own Ghostbusters multiverse, between the movies, the
animation,
Extreme Ghostbusters and all that, it's a wonderful job.
Right. So, all right. And Scott Tipton, who's been on the podcast, he's become a good buddy. He, as you know, writes the Star Trek and Doctor Who books. And well, when they have a sale, I go to him. I go, all right, what should I get? I'm obviously getting yours, but what should I get? He's like, all right, get this one, this one, this one. I just do. Just because, and when he, with his writing, he gets me in the spirit of things that I typically don't care about. Like, I don't care about Star Trek. Well, then I read one of his crossovers or books. Now I want to watch a Star Trek movie. And so Mikey and I watch Star Trek. And, you know, yeah. And he'll do, like, basically the stories that you wish they told in conjunction with, like, he did one of Spock going back after Kirk dies to get his body off that planet. Yeah, and it's a flashback, and it's he's having memories of this, that, and the other. Well, he gets into the guts of stuff that makes you go, all right, this feels like you're watching an episode or movie. He's got the spirit, he's got the lingo, and it really pumps you up for that mythology.
That's cool.
And, well, he's the reason I got into Doctor Who. You know, I read his crossover with Star Trek, and I'm like, all right, it's the 50th anniversary. I'm going to watch, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's the thing with comics and even animation, they can do a lot of storylines that they might not have otherwise been able to do because they don't have to worry about the absurd, insane budget to do it practically or, you know, CGI wise or whatever. And I think that's one of the reasons why some storylines like Spock going, you know, getting the remains of Kirk, you know, in order to do that live action wise, that's a whole, well, it's a whole another bucket of issues because, you know, one of the actors is no longer with us, unfortunately.
Right.
But, you know, it just, it's a way to visit stories that otherwise would go unexplored.
Okay. So here I'm looking at what they have currently. Do you use Comicsology?
I haven't. I had just recently downloaded it on my iPad.
Okay. They have an 82% all graphic novels of Hawkeye.
Oh, well, yeah, that makes sense because the series just came out.
All of the storyline and color scheme and everything that they took this from, the show, everything connected to Hawkeye, Old Man Hawkeye, Kate Bishop Hawkeye, West Coast Avengers, Young Avengers. If it has a tie to Hawkeye, it's $1.99.
Not bad.
From I'm looking at prices of $16.99, $12.99. They're usually that. Well,
yeah.
This is a heck of a sale. So then you go down. There's art books from whoever. I grabbed an art book of Alex Ross for 99 cents. Dynamite has a whole bunch of stuff. IDW. $0.99 for things that are usually so stupidly priced, like $20.
Wow. I had to check that out tonight.
There's a Dune. Did you see Dune? I didn't see Dune.
No, we didn't get, we missed out on it, unfortunately.
There is, for $0.99, you can get volume one, which is usually $24.99.
Wow.
I'm telling you, skim through the sales. If you like Archie, they have giant 10,000 page comics that are normally $8 are now $1.99.
Oh, wow.
Including the Riverdale comic book that is a spinoff of the show.
Cool.
I'm telling, and it go, oh, here's the biggest surprise. Marvel has an epic collection. I didn't know what that meant. I'm looking at one that is usually $34.99, is now $3.99. They have Pick Your Hero, Spider-Man volumes, Daredevil volumes of, let me give you an example of how many books are in within an epic collection. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 in... That's one epic collection. Just I picked random.
Oh, wow. Okay.
How do you not pile up? I warned Cindy. I said, look, I'm very frugal, but you got to pounce on these sales. DC's doing the same thing. $2.99 for a book that's usually $12.
Wow.
And they're the great stories. They're the must-have stories.
Yeah. Like the ones that hit really
things I don't have. I need it. I'm bringing it. This is, you know,
yeah,
I had to stop
I'll have to
myself.
Check that out.
I'm
I'll
telling you. And today in particular, if you could.
Yeah.
Because it's Black Friday and all. But yeah. Anyway.
Well, I know I know we've got the decorating for Christmas coming up here. So,
yeah.
Dig out the tree.
Did you you were going to just tell me about your hobbies before you went?
Yeah. Over the last, well, year and a half, almost 2 years now. You know, you and I talked about this, I think, before on here. Got into tabletop RPGs a little bit more.
Oh, I always see your posts of your role-playing stuff.
Yep, I've got I got my D&D games on Mondays, which during September and October, we took a break because two of our party members were working with one of their local haunts, you know, kind of like Jason's Woods type thing, but where they're at, you know. And, so we're like, okay, well, what are we going to do while two of our party members are MIA, technically?
Sure.
And they're like, well, we're going to do Call of Cthulhu, okay? We had done kind of like a one-shot of it earlier in the year. And totally different game mechanics, totally different setting, you know, very, you know, horror-esque centric. And we were told at the beginning of the whole thing, don't get attached to your character. Odds are good they're going to die because the way the health system works and everything. Mm-hmm. All our characters survived the entire like mini campaign thing that we were doing. And the DM is like, I don't know how the hell you all managed to do this, but congratulations. And then we got to talking the other week about maybe getting into Cyberpunk. So I'm like, well, you know, I'd like to, you know, but if we're going to be getting back into D&D here soon, does that mean we're going to be doing it to another night? Well, yeah, you know, so I'd said something to Jess about it. And so I'm doing another RPG with him. Now, that one's only going to be every other week, which is nice. That way we don't get kind of burnt out.
Sure.
But that's another one, completely different, you know, inner workings of game mechanics. You know, it's... Like Dungeons and Dragons focusing on a 20-sided dice. Call of Cthulhu, percentile dice. It's a 2 10-sided dice. One that represents 1 through 10. The other, the 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, so forth. Yeah. So it's like, okay, that's insane trying to remember that mechanic and then how it differs to D&D. Well, now, Cyberpunk, it's just the 10-sided dice. Just one of them, not two of them. It's like, okay, that's great. Another one. You know?
Yeah.
But they're easy to jump back and forth between because they are starkly different. It's not like,
you know, oh, well, you know, this one's a 20-sided dice, but instead of doing this math, you do this math. You know, it's, okay, D&D, it's the 20-sided. Call of Cthulhu, it's percentile. And then Cyberpunk, it's just a straight D10. So that's been fun. Earlier this year, I had decided I wanted to try to get into Twitch. I wanted to start streaming stuff, you know, me doing stuff. And I'd done all right. You know, I'd successfully streamed for about a week. But then, as with many things, life happened. And you get sidetracked here or there. And about 2 weeks ago, I'd made the decision I was going to start streaming, playing video games for two nights a week. And it's been going all right, going slow.
I was wondering when you said that you needed to test some stuff for a setup.
Yeah.
Record, I'm like, what are you recording? I don't.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's I had been just having everything plugged into my Xbox and streaming straight from there. But talking with a couple of different people that are in the community, you know, one person had said, ideally, what you should try to do is have like a laptop or a computer next to you so that you can use this program, which is free, so that you can do these couple things. It'll help improve the quality. You know, yes, you can spend money because that'll open up this package of stuff. But since you're just starting out, this will work perfectly fine for you. You'll be okay, you know. And if you have any questions, here's my contact info. Hit me up. I'll help you out as best as I can, you know. And it's nice that I found a supportive collective of people to bounce ideas off of. Like, I was talking to the one person, like, what's better, you know, streaming single-player games or going head deep into the insanity that are multiplayer games where you're, like, playing against each other or you're playing cooperatively or, you know. Sure. And they're like, it really just matters on what you're into, you know. Be your typical charming, amusing self. That's going to be what brings people to you. The content of what you're streaming, you know, stick with something for a while, but then start introducing other things. Like, if you're streaming 2 days a week, you know, do like one game on Tuesdays and then another game on Thursdays or Fridays or whatever. I'm like, okay, you know, that way you're doing a variety, but if people want to see certain content, they know, okay, Tuesdays they're doing Trek or Friday they're doing Forza or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. So right now I've just been doing my playthrough of Cyberpunk, but you know.
Cool. I'm probably going to add more designs to the store.
Okay.
You know? Yeah, that's
I know you've been having a blast with that.
Yeah, but it's a blast, but you have to go, let's say you have one new design.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go through every single thing that, oh, you want a shirt? Okay, you want that shirt. You want, how about a sweatshirt? Okay. Now mm-hmm. you got to grab it, design it, put it on there, make sure.
And then you got to see how it fits on like this or that item or
and
whatever.
Oh,
yeah.
Pants, and there's a mouse pad, and there's a backpack, and there's a puzzle. You have to set it so it's worth it. Otherwise,
yeah, because you don't want to. Yeah, you don't want to have it set as default for everything because the placement's gonna be weird.
Exactly.
Or like I remember when I was when we were doing the different design stuff for Dark Ops, it was like the logo was like too zoomed in or whatever. And it's like no. That's gonna be shrank down so that you can at least see it on the mouse pad or travel bag or whatever, you know.
Yep.
So.
And also the I'm waiting for them to come out with that role playing game for Stargate. Then we'll be able to discuss back.
Yeah, I'd seen a couple people that I think had backed the Kickstarter have gotten right. Their books. I've been kind of like listening for like their thoughts and whatnot on them, and it seems to be enjoyable from everybody. So, and that's what you want to hear.
Once it's mass produced, I'll be snagging my copy.
I'm sure both of us will be.
Yeah. We'll have to get together and do a game night.
Do something,
yeah.
All
right. We will let everybody go. We hope everybody has a great holiday. If you listen to this repeatedly, just pretend it's the holidays, even if it's July. And I'm sure we'll be back chatting with each other.
Oh, more than likely, yeah.
Right after.
There's a couple movies coming out that we'll have to chat about.
Exactly. All right, everybody, we will let you go. Have a great time, great holiday. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. And as always,
stay excited, everybody.
The Never Gets Old podcast is part of the Forever Adventure Network. Music by Harmony Constant. Some artwork by Joseph Arnold and Jared Brown. Donations can be made to Patreon, to Mac Jackson. Join our group pages on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Never Gets Old Pod. Please subscribe, rate, and review. And remember, stay excited, everyone. The Forever Adventure Network. Welcome to the adventure. Hi, everybody. It's Mac Jackson. I wanted to invite you to a new site called the Forever Adventure Network. This website has everything. Pictures, videos, blogs. There's original music by Harmony Constant. Two podcasts. One is the MacGyver podcast, where we celebrate Richard Dean Anderson, his iconic roles, and how it's influenced our lives. There's episode discussions, interviews, and life conversations. The second podcast is the Never Gets Old podcast, where we celebrate all the best things that we love in life, from TV, movies, music, and comics. The site is also the home for the MacGyver SG-1 audio series, an ongoing adventure series that continues the adventures of MacGyver and SG-1. There are also multiple stores to choose from for all of your pop culture and adventure needs. Come on by and check us out today. And thanks for joining the adventure.